Always great having our next guest on the show. You know him well. He is sub-county legislator of the 8th District. His name is Anthony Piccirillo. Also chairs the committee on the cyber attack. And nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Tuesday. And we say a very good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Jay. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I am doing well. In order to complete this cyber report, Mr. Legislator, do you need the testimony or something out of Lisa Black, former deputy county executive?
Well, we want to have her testimony to kind of wrap this all up. She led the response effort on the county executive side. And, you know, many of the committee members had said, you know, we hope that she can come in so we can ask her, you know, questions that we believe were pertinent to our investigation. You know, from the beginning, we had said, you know, we weren't going to put a time limit on this. It's not going to be political, that we're going to follow the facts where they lead us, and we're going to do all the interviews we need to do so that we can offer a comprehensive report to the county legislature and the county executive to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I believe we're close to doing that. You know, some new things have come to light, but that's kind of not really what we're doing, you know, right now. That's really for, you know, another branch of government. We're focused on the response to recovery and
right,
to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
No question, but her testimony is vital, I would think. Any reason why that she has kind of delayed the practice of being served a subpoena and not coming forth here?
Yeah, so, I mean, there were many things that happened, and I can't get into all of them, but all I would say is everyone's entitled to counsel, and the holdup was, you know, something along the lines of that. So once they get the lawyer situation straightened out, I'm sure, well, I'm hopeful that she'll go appear.
All righty. We got to keep an eye on that. You know, listen, I always say when there's smoke, there's fire. There's got to be some sort of reason why Ms. Black is not coming forward here. Troubling to me. Is it troubling to all regarding the possibility of destruction of documents as we've been reading here? That's serious stuff, Anthony.
Always troubling. You know, if that did happen, obviously right now it's being looked at and nothing is said that it did or didn't. But, you know, when I got into office, I had an empty office. There wasn't one piece of paper, one constituent file there. So I passed the transitions of power legislation, which basically laid out how you're supposed to leave your office for an incoming legislator. And unfortunately, till today, that's still not happening. So, you know, we're going to have to relook at that legislation and give it some more teeth so that people understand the proper protocol and just, you know, respect the professional courtesy that you're supposed to leave the next legislator or next county executive that's coming into office.
Troubling to many, and we're talking to Anthony Piccirillo, ladies and gentlemen, it's troubling to many when you have the controller come out, county controller, stating $13.8 million in unneeded spending, you know, put towards some sort of technology and whatnot, and they can't figure it out. Redundancy, unwanted spending, not good verbiage as far as how the previous county executive handled this whole thing.
So, I mean, I think I spoke to you about this, and I definitely spoke to your listeners about this when you had me on. They waived, during the emergency order from the cyber attack, they waived what's called the procurement policy for the county. That's basically the steps and policy that drive spending and going out for bids. And the legislature, for years, has always had oversight over that process, so we know where all the money's going. During the cyber attack, that process was basically waived, and the county executive alone could make all the deals that he wanted to make without any oversight from the legislature. So I tried to, you know, put an end to that. Unfortunately, like anything else, it got held up legally, and we weren't able to move forward with my legislation to put an end to the emergency order. And this continued until the last day in office. So, you know, moving forward, I've been working with legal counsel to make sure that this can't happen again. You know, if the legislature doesn't have its oversight capabilities, we might as well close the lights in the legislature and go home and just let the county executive run the show. You know, that's not what we're doing. That's not what the Republican majority in the legislature is doing. We're going to make sure that the legislature remains a co-equal branch of government with its oversight capabilities.
Anthony, at this point in time, and you don't have to declare the answer in full here, but do you have a pretty good idea, even without the testimony of Ms. Black, as far as what actually went on and whose fault it was for the mess up of September 8th? 2022? Just your mindset alone.
I'd say we've done a very comprehensive investigation. I think her testimony is kind of the last puzzle piece, if you will. The puzzle's almost done and there are a couple of pieces left to go. But I think we have a very clear understanding about what happened and how to make sure that we put the tools together to make sure this doesn't happen again. I think it's very, very close to being done.
You want to tell me right now? I'm only kidding. But when you look back on things, how vital was the testimony of a guy like Pete Shushla?
Yeah, I think he gave very good testimony. I think the people who were on the ground, the IT folks, gave very compelling testimony. And I have to thank, Special Counsel Donahue. He was fantastic, this whole thing.
Tremendous.
The consummate professional. And I'm very glad that we were able to select him as Special Counsel. He's really done a fantastic job on this whole thing.
You know, and I was just going to state his experience and know-how, and I've been following this since day one. You know me. I've seen everything as far as the tapes. He has been the glue as far as everything. His know-how, his knowledge, it's been incredible. And his guidance must be incredible as well.
It is. It absolutely is. And this is, one of the main reasons that, we selected him. He knows his stuff, and, he's not in politics. He's not in the political fray. He's from the outside. So, to me, that's a huge reason why we selected him, and it's definitely worked out for the better.
A final thing on this. If it comes to the point where you have the idea of what went awry here and everything else as far as fault, I mean, is there any criminality that would be pursued as far as an investigation and maybe a separate one going forward?
Right. So if the legislative committee was to find what we perceived as criminality, we would have to then refer that to the district attorney's office. I'm not going to say if we have or have not, but that's the protocol for what we have to do. And then he would have to take it from there. So, there's a lot of moving pieces here. The legislature does not have the power to bring criminal charges or to arrest. That's a different branch of government. All we have is investigative and oversight capabilities, and then we refer anything that we may perceive to be criminal to the district attorney's office. They review it, and then they take the steps necessary from there. So, that we'll see what happens on that front. I think the people of Suffolk County, our employees, they need to understand the full breadth of what happened here.
Yes,
because I think a lot of people are pointing fingers at our hardworking employees. And let me tell you something: these people work day in and day out to keep this county running, and some people were trying to point fingers at them, and that's not fair either. I don't think we should be singling any single person out that works for the county. This is an in-depth investigation that, quite frankly, a lot of people are at fault. So I hope that brings that to light, and then we could put this
and you can close the books on it,
and move forward. Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, I agree, and we just had Ed Romaine on. I'm sure you might have listened. Maybe you weren't busy with something.
It was great, yeah.
And Ed's cleaning up a lot of the mess. As a legislator, and you've known Ed a zillion years, give me a sense of what it's like to legislate with him at the top of the mountain.
Totally different. I just feel like there was all weight lifted off the legislature's shoulders, after Ed came in. And kind of off the county shoulders. I think, listen, Steve's not a bad guy. I don't want to sit here and say anything negative about the man. We didn't see eye to eye. We didn't see eye to eye on policy. We didn't see eye to eye on governmental style. And Ed's more of a understands that the legislature is a co-equal branch of government and that, we have a constitutional duty to perform oversight and to create policy. And, his job is to administer that policy. And I think he understands that better because he was a legislator. So coming from the legislative branch, I think he understands the key role that the legislature plays in running county government. So I think it's important that we have that, that give and take relationship with him, to kind of move this county forward. Remember, the county was basically bankrupt before we got the federal bailout money. So, we are now stewards of this
excellent point.
Federal money, paying our bills and doing the things that we need to do. We could have been like New York City. And spent through that money in months. We put money in reserves. We paid off debt. We paid off pension debt. We did, I think, the pertinent things that needed to be done to make sure that the finances of the county, you know, are solid moving forward. And that's, I think, what the voters expect of us. You know, it's their money. Take care of it and do the right thing. And so I think we're doing that, and we're going to continue to do that.
That's an excellent point, and it needs to be accentuated, folks. And God knows what, if that money was not in place, can you imagine that? If that COVID money wasn't in place, I don't know what would happen as far as county finances.
We had talked, you know, privately amongst the legislators that, you know, we probably have to lay off 500 people and, you know, cut a couple of police classes and really gut county government and the services that it provides people of this county. And there's a lot of people that depend on those services. And we have to make sure that we can provide them at the best cost while making sure that our workers are taken care of. So, you know, it's the balancing act that moves forward every single day.
Yep. Final thought here. After this mess is cleaned up with a cyber, what is Prio 1 on the list for Anthony Picariello going forward as far as the legislature is concerned?
Yeah, obviously this has been, you know, really big, and I appreciate leadership and Presiding Officer McCaffrey for giving me the opportunity to chair the Investigations Committee. It's been, you know, a great experience for me, and I think they'll be happy with the final result. You know, as always, I look to kind of roll back what I would say is excessive government on top of taxpayers in Suffolk County who are, quite frankly, as you know, taxed enough already. So, you know, we look at the fees all the time, and we look at the operations of government and how to make it better. So, you know, whether it's red light cameras or school bus cameras or the alarm fee, different things that we're looking at, you know, budgetarily to make sure that we can roll back and stop. You know, as you know, we eliminated the $30 surcharge on the red light camera fees. That was a huge first step. And now we're going to see the different locations where accidents with injuries had risen over a certain percent and see what we can do with those. You know, just operationally speaking, we need to make sure the government works correctly. So that's what we do. You know, I'm not one of those legislators because I want to create a new law every single month and burden taxpayers and businesses with these rules and regulations. You know, we're trying to roll these things back so that, you know, capital can be raised in the private sector, spent in the economy, and that's what boosts the economy, you know, not government planning and spending at the highest level. So that's my main focus is just rolling back some of these onerous regulations that are crippling the county's opportunity to create new money.
Mr. Picariello, Mr. Legislator, Mr. Chairman, you've done a heck of a job. Keep up the great work. And we will be watching and awaiting and seeing what comes out of this and hopefully just setting sights forward here. Can't thank you enough.
Thanks, Shay. Great being with you. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
You got it.